Hi, everybody. This is Keith Music Man Henlick with the Final on Vinyl podcast. And tonight we're with Chuck Weil, who's the creator of Liquid Mind, and had the pleasure of covering Liquid Mind 14 Simplicity recently. How are you doing, Chuck?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on the show, Keith. Really appreciate it.
Well, thanks for coming on board. I really appreciate you coming on board and sharing some time with us and talking about your career and your releases. You have a ton of releases out there. So
I do.
Perhaps maybe talk a little bit about your career and what got you to this point and what made you decide to create Liquid Mind and, you know, what was the thought process behind that and coming up with that name?
Sure, I'd be glad to, Keith. Liquid Mind was kind of born in late 1987. I was working on a TV show for ABC Television, and the show was called Max Headroom. It's kind of obscure these days, but at the time it had actually won an Emmy and was very, very popular.
I remember that show.
Yeah, the only problem was the show kept getting behind schedule. I think it was the first show with an animated character as the lead and, you know, a combination of animation and real live people. And that was, made the production process a little bit difficult. And so sometimes we were only given 3 days to compose, record, mix and present 30 to 45 minutes of music. Usually it was about 40 minutes of music. So with so much work to do, I kind of stopped sleeping for a while. I would grab like 3 or 4 hours of sleep. I worked on this show with Michael Hoenig from Tangerine Dream. Michael and I would work these gosh, awful hours. I mean, really insanely bad. And I just barely slept for 3 months. And I noticed that I started having trouble breathing and feeling really tense and kind of jumpy and nervous. I didn't know what it was at the time. And also at the same time, unfortunately, my friends were dying of AIDS. Now it's called HIV, but that one, back then it was called AIDS, and I was actually had friends dying while I was working on this TV show, and I was just kind of freaking out mentally. Fortunately for me, anyway, the show was canceled in November of 1987, but in the last show, I was sitting in what's called a spotting session with the executive producer, Peter Wagg, and the people from the network, ABC Television. And we were all sitting there in a show, and all of a sudden I really started having trouble breathing, and they thought I was having a heart attack, and I didn't know what it was. And the executive producer threw me in his Porsche, drove 100 miles an hour, oh my gosh, down side streets to an urgent care that was about 2 miles away. And they rushed me in, and the doctor checked me out, and then he said, Chuck, you're not having a heart attack. You're having what's called an anxiety attack. And I went, what? What's that?
Wow.
He said, yeah, it's called a panic attack, an anxiety attack. And at that point in time, the doctor did something that I will never, ever forget. He held up 2 pieces of paper in his hands. One page in one of his hands, he said, it's medication, Rx. Here is a prescription to something called Xanax. And in the other hand, he held up a page that was meditation instructions. And then he looked at me and he said, medication, meditation, there's only one letter difference, and they both work about equally as well for what you have. And I went home, and I took a Xanax, and I didn't like the way I felt. I just felt really sleepy, And I was freaked out anyway from, you know, everything that had happened that day. And so I mentioned it to a friend of mine, and he said, Chuck, you ought to try meditation. He said, I've been doing it for years. It really helps you, like, kind of stay relaxed, you know, when you're under a lot of stress. And he worked in the industry as well, works in the industry as well. Yeah, he's a wonderful musician by the name of Jeff Kingfisher, and has a bunch of albums out himself. And he suggested that I go see a counselor friend of his. And I went to this counselor, and she listened to me, and we talked for a while, and she said, you know, Chuck, you're a composer. Why don't you create the kind of music that represents the way you'd like to feel? Not the way you feel, but the way you'd like to feel. And she said, I want you to do a 30-minute piece, and I don't want you to come back and see me until you've done that. She said, I want to hear the kind of music that you'd like to hear that represents the way you'd like to feel. And I really hadn't done that kind of slow vibe. At least I didn't remember doing it at the time. And it took me 3 or 4 weeks, and I experimented. Everything I did was really fast. You know, I was drinking a lot of coffee. The show had been canceled. I was a little freaked out about that. And finally, I started recording something really, really slow, and I recorded a piece called 0°0. It's on the very first Liquid Mind album. It's about 29 or 30 minutes long, and I called it 0°0 because that's the way I felt. I was miserable, you know. I just hated this panic and anxiety. At the same time, my friend Jeff said, you know, I get acupuncture, and I would suggest maybe that you go to see this Taoist master by the name of Dao Xing Ni, either he or his brother Mao Xing Ni, and they're 38th generation Chinese healers. And I had really never heard of Chinese medicine. And so I went to see them, and the first words out of his mouth were, you know, you almost killed yourself with the drinking coffee like 6 times a day. I was having a double cappuccino to keep me awake. He said, yeah, you almost killed yourself with that and with all the work. And he said, I want you to come back every day of the week. And I did that for 3 months. I had acupuncture 5 days a week. I took Chinese herbs. He said, I'm going to show you how to meditate. And I meditated for like an hour or 2 hours a day. Can you imagine? I guess there are people, you know, that do that. But at the time, I'm like all wound up. He said, never have a drop of caffeine the rest of your life. And you know what? I have not had coffee since January of 1988. He said, some people can tolerate it, but not me. And that's how Liquid Mind happened. I was calling it, I started to call myself the slowest common denominator. And I mentioned it to my friend Suzanne Doucet, and she said, I'm not so sure about that title, but it's kind of interesting. She said, maybe it's a piece. And I was working with my counselor again by then, and the counselor said, you know, you need to take a vacation. When was your last vacation? I said, I don't know, about 20 years ago.
Oh, my God.
it was a different fellow then. And he said, Chuck, I'm not going to work with you until you take 24 hours away from Hollywood and go somewhere. And when you've done that, we can resume therapy and try and sort out why you did this, why you would work these crazy hours in the first place, especially when you had, you know, your friends and the grief that you were trying to process. And I said, okay, I'll do that. And I went down to Laguna Beach, where I had been before I started the TV show. I used to go visit family down there. And I checked into a motel which was right on the beach. And the first thing I did was I walked down to the rocks, sitting and heard the ocean coming and going. And I listened to the music, and I became very calm all of a sudden. I wasn't panicking. My heart rate slowed down. I wasn't breathing quickly. And I went, wow, this is really crazy. And I listened, and I said, you know, it's the sound of the liquid. It's relaxing my mind. And then I went, oh, my God, Liquid Mind. That's it. I'm going to call the series Liquid Mind, and I'm going to try and create the sound of the ocean musically. And I went back to L.A. the next day, went back to Hollywood, and started therapy. It took me 2 or 3 years, actually, to be able to grieve my friends. I didn't allow myself to cry or to grieve. I was just completely shut down. And so my friend Michelle Weiss Maslin, who's a wonderful songwriter, Emmy-winning songwriter, and Michelle said, you know, Chuck, this could be the best thing that ever happened to you, because you're going to, you know, you'll learn about yourself. You're going to be in touch. And so that was it. At the same time, I started making cassettes of Liquid Mind, what I call Liquid Mind, with the piece 0°0, and I made 300 or 400 cassettes and started going around to AIDS hospices and handing them out to people. I had a family member who had really bad cancer and was actually dying, and I gave one to her, and she said, oh my gosh, this is so great. This helps me, like, disconnect from my mind, you know, and just be with myself more. So I finished the first album, I guess about 2 years later, and I got back in touch with Suzanne Doucet, who really is, you know, I would say the mother of New Age music, or one of the founders. She used to own a store called Only New Age Music, and she was my consultant for several years, and Suzanne helped me set up my own record label. I hired 3 employees, and after 2 or 3 albums, I started paying my bills, and I think I went to 300 music stores. Back then, that's what you did. You couldn't post anything online. Right. I literally drove, sometimes with an assistant driving with me, but most of the time on my own, to 300 music stores in California and in the Southwest, like Arizona. I went to New Mexico. I think I may have gone to Utah as well, Oregon. And I would just take CDs along with me and say, please sell my music. Here, you can have it. It's on consignment. If you sell any, send me a check to this address. It was kind of weird, but
What a story. I mean, that is a fantastic story. And I don't think I've ever heard a story like this before. And, you know, all these different people just lined up for you. And Suzanne was the cherry on top. She's a wonderful lady. She knows the business so well. Like you said, she's the mother of New Age, that's for sure. She's been around, and she knows what to do, what not to do, and she's just a real friend to everybody, you know? So.
Yes, indeed. You know, and I love the intentionality of New Age music, which whoever you ask, it's probably a different thing. But it has a good intention, and I think that's what I focus in on. You know, it's music to help people in different ways, and I won't attempt to, you know, to define it musically or otherwise. I'm just part of that. That's the way I look at it. You know, all music is healing to someone, and you know, in my case, you know, New Age music is one of my healers. I love it.
Well, I'm with you on that. Certainly has helped me over the years and continues to do so. And, you know, you made a good point about how it's different for everybody. And, you know, when I write my reviews, I talk about how it makes me feel and what my thoughts are on it. But I always make sure I say, you know, it depends on who you are. You know, everybody's an individual. Everybody has a different perception and use for the music. So, you know, it's entirely up to you. And that's the beauty of it, too. And regardless of how you use it and whether you even know it or not, it's going to help you heal.
Yes. Yeah, I totally agree. Long about the third album, I guess, the second or third album, I think it was around the third album, I started, Suzanne was always making suggestions, and one of her suggestions was to get in touch with a music therapist. She said, you know, your music is really slow, and it's kind of putting people to sleep. And I said, yes, that's the highest compliment to me, that my music puts people to sleep. And so I got in touch with the American Music Therapy Association and went to one of their conferences. And I bought a mailing list from them and sent free CDs to, like, I think it was 1,500 music therapists. And I met the president at the time. Her name was Alicia Clare. And she lived in Topeka, Kansas, only 20 miles from where I grew up in Kansas City. And so we got together, and she introduced me to someone named Barb Else, who's a very well-known, Barbara Else, a very well-known music therapist, who's a researcher, and she was the senior research associate for the American Music Therapy Association. And, you know, I joined the AMTA, as it's called, and what I learned was, Keith, I learned about the difference between sedative music and stimulative music. Some music is sedative or sedative, however you want to say it, and other music is more stimulative. That doesn't make it bad or good. It's just different kinds. And I realized that Liquid Mind was sedative music. And I started, we did an analysis Barb Else and I did. I started receiving emails and letters from people back then, and I had over 700, this was like in the mid-90s, 700 people had already taken the time to write me, or email was kind of new then, but I was getting emails. And so she said, we need to do what's called a content analysis. We're going to look through all these emails and try to summarize with one word what they said was the effect of the music, and then we'll figure out who's using it for what. And so we did that analysis. It's actually on my website, liquidmindmusic.com. I think it's under the button that says how to use. And it looks like 23% of the people were saying that they meditated. They had transcendental experiences, 12% of the people. Some said spiritual experience. Some said a heightened meditative. 20% of the people were using Liquid Mind to sleep. Another 15% were nurses, doctors, and practitioners of other kinds using it for maternity, birthing, craniosacral work, psychotherapy. Another 14% were using it for using it for anxiety relief and deep relaxation and so forth and so on. 5% were using it for surgical recovery. There were hospitals actually writing me saying, we're using this. And, you know,
wow.
So it was just amazing to me. I didn't know what to say. I just thought, well, I'll just put it up on the website. And
you talk about validation. Wow, you really got validated early on in your career. But you did a lot of legwork. You put a lot of time and you know, money into this to get it out there. And obviously, that all paid off in the long run. But it's too bad some of us have to nearly kill ourselves before we wake up and get on the right path, right?
Well, yeah, I nearly killed myself, as as Master Nee told me that day. It's true, and fortunately today it doesn't cost as much. Back then, this is kind of one of those somewhat, people might say this is a little bit of a creepy story, but I met with Suzanne and I said, Suzanne, how much is this going to cost? And she said, it ain't going to be cheap, Chuck. And she wasn't talking about her. She said, by the time you go to all these conventions, you have to buy literally 25 or 30,000 CDs and just send them everywhere and blah, blah, blah. She said, it's going to cost you about $150,000. And I said, wow. Gosh, I don't have that kind of money. And she said, well, now you have something to meditate about. So literally, 2 hours later, I sat down in my living room and I was meditating. I was going, just trying to keep the thought, you know, I have the money that I need. This is going to be fine. Don't worry about it. Just, you know, try and do good in the world. Just keep doing what you're doing. And the phone rang right while I was meditating. And on the phone was an old friend of mine named Bruce Swedene. And Bruce is a 5-time Grammy winner who had produced the Missing Persons albums. That's a band I was in from 1980 to 84. And Bruce was a great guy. We had become friends. He loved what I was doing with Liquid Mind. And this was 1994 by then. And he said, Chuck, what are you doing? And I said, just something told me to jump on the bandwagon. I said, I'm working with you, Bruce. What are you doing? I thought, you know, maybe he's got some work for me. And he said, I'm working with The Glove. And I said, The Glove. And then I thought, oh, Michael Jackson. They used to call him The Glove. And he said, Michael would like you to make some sounds that the human ear has never heard. And I said, I'm the guy. He said, well, great, what do you need? And I said, I need a synclavier. It's this instrument I had used in Max Headroom. And they cost $250,000. And I said, I need a synclavier, but I don't have one, Bruce. And he said, I know just the person. There'll be one tomorrow. We'll rent one for you for a year. And Martin Royer is going to come over and show. Martin was like a famous synclavier guy, probably still is. And he said, Martin's going to come over and work with you for 2 weeks and show you how to work it, and then you can start work. And I worked for Michael off and on for 4 years, basically. And that's how Liquid Mind came into being. Michael paid me. I paid my employees. And I did, you know, I spent the money that Michael, every penny, basically. And it turned out to be a little over $150,000, almost the exact amount. Michael only worked about 3 or 4 months a year. So, but during those 3 or 4 months, for 3 or 4 years, I worked for him. And I told him one day, I gave him a copy of a couple of the albums, and he said to me, Chuck, I really like your titles. They make me relax. I said, well, try to listen to the music, Michael. He said, oh, I got my own music to worry about. So, he was a very, very gentle, focused person. And I told him, I said, your music, I mean, the money that you pay me is going to get this healing music out to people. And he said, healing music? He kind of looked at me. You know, it wasn't a term that everybody used every day. Yeah. And I used to meet with him every evening. I would go out to the studio where he was working, and I'd wait for him to be available, usually around midnight. He kept very odd hours, which sadly ended up killing him. You know, he didn't sleep enough. He never slept more than 3 or 4 hours. And he'd get up at midnight to sing on albums.
Wow.
Because that's where, when he would feel the energy. Anyway, that's That's how Liquid Mind financially came into being. Today, fortunately, we have the internet.
Yeah, thank God, huh? Well, it's been amazing hearing your story, Chuck, and I really appreciate all your time. And there's a lot of listeners out there that are going to enjoy hearing this. And, hopefully in the future we can do this again.
Sounds great. Sounds great, Keith. Thanks so much for having me. And I wish you the best.
You too. Take care now.
Take care. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye.